Do you like it? Do you like it, Scott? I call it Mr. and Mrs. Tenorman Chili.
Oh, my God! Oh, my God!
Yeah, 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 yeah. I made you eat your parents. Yeah, 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 yeah. Jesus Christ, dude.
You all know exactly who I am.
I'm not saying your name.
You sure?
And I'll be glad to...
Say my name.
Maybe I should try listening.
That's right. Now, say my name.
It's Matt Coon!
You're goddamn right.
And welcome to Total Engagement with me, Matt Coon, here on the MLW Radio Network, brought to you by our good friends over there at WrestleZone.com. I would like to thank everybody for just pumping up our downloads. This Sunday episode is our biggest Sunday. Saturday is our biggest Saturday. Thursday and Friday were our biggest Thursdays and Fridays. Thank you guys so much for listening to all the different segments we do, whether it's crime and wrestling, or whether it's this week in wrestling, or whether it's current events, or something in the past, or just a weird take I have. I can't thank you guys enough. We are growing. Let me ask you, do me a favor and do us a favor as we do this every single day. And as you can tell, I record every single day. Just support us a little bit. Go over to iTunes, subscribe, listen to all the old shows, give us a 5-star review. We've got about 350 reviews up there. I'd love to get it up to 500. I would consider it a personal favor. And in trying to improve the show and in trying to do different things every single time, we are going to start doing these segments that are going to be either weekly or bi-weekly. And today is going to be our first segment of something I call WWTF, Wrestling What the Fuck. And the first thing I thought of when I thought of Wrestling What the Fuck was what we're going to talk about today. A short history, explanation, and judgment of the Mexicools. Today on Total Engagement with me, Matt Coon. So let's take you back to 1999, 2000, 2001. There were three brilliant wrestlers on the scene. One was Psicosis, the holder of the world's coolest mask, and a very underrated performer. Another one is Juventud Guerrera, and Juventud was kind of, you know, maybe Eddie Guerrero light, but he had a personality. People really liked him. Matter of fact, later on, Vince was convinced he would become the next Rock, and I mean Vince McMahon was convinced he'd be the next Rock. And then meanwhile, around the same time, over in ECW, you had another luchador named Super Crazy. And they all had a lot of success where they were. Psicosis had the big time leg drop, and Juventud had that personality, and everything was like full bore, full speed. And Super Crazy, even though sometimes he didn't look like much visually, when he got in the ring, he was an amazing wrestler. And around 2005, they all kind of came to WWE at the same time. Two of them came to WWE at the exact same time, which was the ECW One Night pay-per-view, where Psicosis made his first appearance, taking off his mask, which I think was a requirement, and Super Crazy, who I don't think you could have an ECW one-night stand without Super Crazy, at the same time, they had decided to sign Juventud Guerrera. Now, where have these guys been for the last 4 or 5 years? Well, they all had kind of doing a lot of international appearances, a lot of indie appearances, making the random appearance at TNA, NWA TNA, later to become Impact Wrestling, as pretty much any wrestler who wrestled in the early 2000s outside of WWE would do occasionally, would go to TNA, but really not much going on for any of them until One Night Stand came around and Psicosis was signed to a contract and Super Crazy signed to a contract and they got Juventud Guerrera, but they were not signed to be together. Believe it or not, they signed three of these luchadors, three great wrestlers, to kind of bolster up the cruiserweight division. The cruiserweight division was in need of some new blood. And man, I mean, these three guys, that's a great little cadre of performers to bring in. you know, unrelatedly all Hispanic, unrelatedly all luchadors, but definitely all three could add a lot to the cruiserweight division. Unfortunately, according to Kurt Bauer, there was a joke that was told on an airplane, and it was a racist joke. And this particular joke led to the formation of the Mexicools, where after the joke was made, then it kind of went, God damn it, that would be great. You know, let's put them all together and we will have a very, very racist, very, 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 very racist gimmick called the Mexicools. Now, they made their debut in 2005 against Paul London and Brian Kendrick. They came out. Okay, so here's the thing. If you don't know, or if you've kind of repressed this in your memory, let me just paint a picture for you. They come out riding three deep on a John Deere tractor. They're on a tractor, it's a riding lawnmower. And they're wearing work uniforms, like workers. And, they have bandanas around their necks and around their head. Basically, any kind of dog whistle, red flag to Mexican stereotypes you could possibly think of. They come in the ring after attacking Paul London and Brian Kendrick and Juventud, who's the best speaker out of the three and who definitely had some charisma, gave a promo about how this is how you see us, this is how you see Mexicans, we're going to take over the division. They point to their riding mower and they called it a Mexican limo. This happened on television for the WWF in the 21st century. Now, the WWE tried this a couple times, which is this double ironic, non-racist racism. For instance, Crime Time or Muhammad Hassan. And of course, who could forget, we lie, we cheat, we steal. Hey, you think we're these stereotypes, but we're not these stereotypes, but we're going to take it out on you for being racist against us. Or we're just going to play with these stereotypes, own them, and have fun with them, and throw them back in your face, maybe. It's a really transparent way to just be racist. And number two, it was white dudes writing this shit. It was white dudes writing these skits that said, hey, maybe they look a little more gang member-y if you put bandanas around their necks or bandanas around their heads. And hey, let's have them coming out. Well, let's put work uniforms on them, like, you know, institutional workers. And let's put them on a riding mower. And a matter of fact, not just the riding mower, but their music was the sound of a lawnmower being started. And my hand's over my face right now. It's not a great moment in wrestling history. And it's something that I think a lot of people have forgotten about. And when people want to talk about, hey, there's no racism in wrestling, let's just remember this was 17 years ago. This was the year my son was born, where we had a group of very talented wrestlers who all just happened to be Hispanic, who were put together in a faction on stereotypes of Hispanics. There was no focus on them busting out of these stereotypes, which, you know, maybe would have worked. Maybe you'd say, hey, we'll start in these stereotypes. We're going to break out because we're not actually like this. No, they just doubled down and doubled down and doubled down. I believe they had leaf blowers at one point. I could be wrong. And I heard Conrad Thompson and Tony Schiavone talking about this on the podcast. Tony never heard of them. And I still think Tony thought Conrad was joking. I was telling my son about the Mexicools, and he didn't believe me until I showed him footage. And when I did that, a wrestling journalist DM'd me and said, hey, I was talking to someone close to me, and they said to me, I don't believe you about the Mexicools. And sure enough, the Mexicools existed. So what's the purpose of having this show today to remind us of the Mexicools? Why can't we just let this lay in the past? Guys, we need to remind ourselves as fans that we need to expect better out of our wrestling promotions. When these things happen, we need to step the fuck up and say, this is not cool. And we need to be reminded of the fact that we didn't when the Mexicools came out. Like, they were around for like a while, like a year and a half. And we didn't. And we need to be reminded of this, especially those of us who might not have experienced this kind of stereotypes in our real life. it's important for all of us to kind of step up and say, we expect better. It's not a joke, because you're perpetuating these stereotypes to people who are watching wrestling, and they're reacting to them. If you have a bunch of Hispanic characters as the Mexicools coming out and calling everybody gringos, what do you expect they're going to think, the fans are going to think of them? How are we supposed to respond to that? What is the next step? If you call me a gringo, I call you a what? I don't know if it was born out of racism. I got to tell you, it's totally racist. But I think it was more born out of stupidity and ignorance and definitely a little bit of racism. But the gimmick itself was totally racist. And it's something that we should never, ever accept as fans again. What happened to the Mexicools? Well, Juventud Guerrero was let go of the company. Reasons were not given. And the other two, Psicosis and Super Crazy, acted as a tag team for a while until Psicosis got arrested in Mexico for stealing a car. And that was pretty much it for the Mexicools. And that is it for today's Total Engagement with me, Matt Kuhn. This is how short the episodes are supposed to be. I go on a little bit long sometimes, but they're supposed to be bite-sized daily doses of wrestling for you to enjoy every single day. And once in a while, we'll do a long show. Please do me a favor, subscribe. Go ahead and download all the old shows and listen to those shows. Give us a 5-star review. Let's get up to 500 reviews on iTunes. I thank you guys so much. We are a community of wrestling fans, and we will all come together every single day just for a few minutes on Total Engagement with me, Matt Kuhn.